Our message this morning is entitled, A Bag Full of Holes. Every Monday, I write an article to all First Baptist Church of Garland members, and it's called The Imprint. Talk about how God is making imprints among us. You'll see a picture of the latest imprint on the screen that I sent last Monday. But I've noticed something as I send those out. If I write something in the article that is devotional in nature, something to help you, something that benefits you, or something maybe of spiritual food or nourishment, man, I get a lot of responses of emails back from you. Pastor, that was good. Thank you so much. Exactly what I needed. I love this. Love this. I get a lot of responses. But if I write something in the article that has to do with obedience, or something you need to do, zero responses. Crickets chirping. Nothing. 3 weeks ago, I wrote an article about how God will be with you and He'll meet your needs and supply all of your needs. Man, I was inundated. Oh, Pastor, that's exactly what I needed. Thank you. That's so good. And then the following week, I talked about our new budget year coming up and how we're to tithe. No responses. None. Yeah, you got an amen back there. And you know, God's people were exactly like that in the book of Haggai. They were no different. They wanted God's blessings, but they weren't real crazy about obeying Him. They wanted God's rain and His crops and food and provision, but they really didn't want to obey. So God called a prophet by the name of Haggai to go speak to the people for Him. And here's what he said. Read with me starting in verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the second month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build a house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce, and I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast and all their labors. I mentioned last Sunday morning in my message that I've been here now 18 years as your pastor. And there are 12 books of the Bible that I've not preached on Sunday morning. I've taught from them on Wednesday nights from time to time. But 12 books I've not preached on Sunday morning. And I believe it's my job to give you the whole counsel of God, all the different genres of the Bible, the law, the prophets, the writings, the gospels, the book of history, the epistles, the apocalyptic literature. And so I gauge from which books and how often I preach. And so over the course of the next several Sundays, I'll be preaching from some of those 12 books that I've not preached before. Last Sunday morning was Song of Solomon. And today, I'm going to be preaching a message from an Old Testament prophet hidden in the back of your Old Testament. It's not a long book. It's only two chapters. A man by the name of Haggai. Maybe you haven't heard of him before. He's only mentioned in the Bible twice. But the book of Haggai is a powerful book and really speaks to us today. So let's look at it. First of all, letter A on your outline, Haggai and what was going on. Verse 1. If you go all the way back to 586 BC, God's people living in Israel, the Babylonians invaded Israel and captured them, burned and pillaged everything. And what Israelites they didn't kill, the rest of them they carried back with them to Babylon to live as slaves or to live in exile. And the reason God did that, he had prophesied through at least four prophets, this was going to happen, was because of their sinfulness. So the land was laid bare. And the Israelites were taken captive to Babylon. It's a time known in Israeli history as the Babylonian captivity. They stayed there about 50 years. At the end of 50 years, Babylon was overthrown by another country, Persia, and King Cyrus. So now the Israelites are the property of the Persians and King Cyrus. And Cyrus allowed them to go back home to their homeland. They weren't captives anymore. So about 538 BC, 50,000 Israelites went back to their homeland for the first time in 50 years. But when they got there, the land was a mess. All the crops were stripped. All the buildings were in rubble, they were charred, and their homes were destroyed. The temple, God's beautiful temple, lay in ruins, and it was a mess, and they had to start over. Where do you start? Well, the Israelites decided they were going to start by rebuilding their personal homes. That makes sense. Okay, we've got to have something to live in when we get back. So they built their homes. But rather than building God's house next, they kept adding to their homes and making them nicer, paneling the walls, which that was unheard of in that day, and adding on, and just kept looking to themselves rather than to God. And so their priorities were self, not God. And God noticed. So he called this Old Testament prophet by the name of Haggai to go speak to God's people and tell them, when are you going to start making me a priority rather than yourself? When are you going to build my house? It's still charred and lying there in rubble, the temple, the beautiful temple. When are you going to build it back? And so Haggai went to the people to speak. Now, we don't know much about Haggai. We don't think he was a priest, and so he didn't have an official role as a spokesman to God's people, most likely a layman. And he didn't speak long. He was only there about 4 months in the year of 520 BC, and he only spoke 38 verses. But they were powerful verses. And so I want us to look at what he said. Verse 1. It says, in the second year of Darius, who's now the king of Persia, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to the governor of Israel and to the high priest of Israel. And did you notice how specific the details were about Haggai receiving God's message? Did you notice that? It was the second year, sixth month, first day of the month. So Haggai's message was so powerful, they remembered the exact day that it came. Now, whenever something is significant, you remember the exact day of it. You remember where you were. You remember the day. You remember all the details. 9/11, I know many of you probably remember exactly where you were. I pastored in Iowa Park up near the Wichita Falls area for 15 years before I came here. And people up there, they remember April 10th, 1979. They call it Terrible Tuesday. And some of you who may remember the Wichita Falls area know exactly what happened 6 o'clock in the afternoon. April 10th, 1979, it was a Tuesday. An F4 tornado, a mile and a half wide at the base through the southwest part of the city, went right down Southwest Parkway, destroying homes, $400 million worth of damage in 1979 on the ground for 49 minutes and killed 42 people. And everybody remembers where they were on April 10th, 1979 at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was the same way with Haggai's message. Second year, 6 month, first day of the month, I remember it. God spoke to Haggai, and what he spoke to us was powerful, and we hadn't forgotten it. So, here's what he said. Letter B on your outline, the cause, verses 2 through 4. Why was God so upset? Why? What had they done? Here's what they'd done. God said, your homes are nice. Mine isn't. My house is in rubble and your house is great. When are you going to switch your priorities from you to me? And here's what God told Haggai. Haggai, these people are more worried about themselves than they are God. Notice he said, these people. He didn't say my people. He didn't say God's people. He goes, these people. My wife sitting on the front row, it'd be like me saying, that woman. That's my wife. Well, those are his people. And he said, Haggai, these people out there are so wrapped up in them, they've forgotten me. And the people had been saying, well, it's not time to build God's house yet. It's not time. It's not time. But yet their homes were nice. And they kept saying, oh, it's not time yet. It had been 18 years. 18 years. How long are you going to wait? It's not time. So one after another, they gave excuses to God. You know, I've been there before. I've given God excuses before. I remember whenever I was saved at 9 years old, I was sitting right over there, and we were singing. I felt God speaking to me that I needed to become a Christian, and I gave excuses to why I couldn't, and I didn't. I eventually did. And then God called me to preach when I was 17 years old, and I didn't want to be a preacher. So for a year and a half, I gave God excuses. I've been there. And you have too. Some of you may be there this morning. God wants you to do something, and you don't want to do it. And so you give the Almighty reasons why you can't do it. Well, I can't be faithful to church right now. God, I'm really busy. You know how work is right now, and I'm just really busy. And Sunday's my only day off, and I get to spend it with family. And God, you know how important family is. And everybody gets your priority except Him. Lord, I can't commit to being a Sunday school teacher right now. I mean, you know, I have to be here every weekend, and I'm just busy, and I just can't do that right now. Lord, whenever I get my life cleaned up, I'll become a Christian. I've got some things to work on first, Lord. This alcohol is a problem, and I just got to get some things worked on first, Lord. And whenever I do, then I'll give you my life. baptized. I can't be, that's embarrassing up there in front of everybody. Everybody's watching. I can't be baptized right now. And we give excuses. Tithe 10% of my income back to God? I can't do that. Why, Lord, I couldn't make it. You know that. I couldn't make it financially if I gave you the first 10%. After all, it's not New Testament teaching anyway, although it is. But we give excuses, and we've all been there. And folks, the bottom line is, if you don't want to do something, you'll find a reason to tell God why you can't do it. And the Israelites found an excuse to build their homes nice, and 18 years let God's home lie in ruins. Now, I want you to notice something very carefully. This was not about a building. God never commanded them to build a temple in the first place. He didn't. God never, in the first place, says, David, build me a temple. David's the one that said, God, I love you so much, I want to build you this extravagant house. And God said, nope, not you, David. Your son Solomon can do it. Your hands are bloodshed hands. And he can do it, and he did, but he didn't command it. God didn't say, thou shalt build me a temple. It wasn't about the temple. God didn't command it to begin with. It was about priorities. God doesn't need a house. The heavens can't contain him. He doesn't need a house. It was about who's first. Who's first? Now, once they built it, it became a significant symbol of their faith. But he never commanded it. It was never about a building program. It's about who's first. And a tangible way to look at what's important. So what about you? Who's first? Be honest. God? Family? Job? Money? The lake? An RV? What is first? Look at letter C in your outline, the consequences, verses 5 through 11. Because the Israelites had placed other priorities ahead of God, he told them there would be consequences to their actions. And so twice in verses 5 through 11, God uses the phrase, consider your ways. Consider your ways. And in Hebrew, it literally means get your inner thoughts and lay them out on the road or a path. Your inner thoughts, lay them out on a path where you can look at them and evaluate them. Another implication in the Hebrew is make an appointment with your inner thoughts and evaluate. And so here's what God told them. Lay your thoughts out and think about it, Israel. You've worked hard. You've sown those crops, but you've harvested just a little. You've eaten, but you're never full. You drink, but it's never enough. You clothe yourself, but you're still cold. And you earn this money, and you put it into bags with holes in them. And it falls out. So God told them, you're busy, you work hard, you're not satisfied, and you never will be. As long as this building's in ruins and I'm not first, you can work as hard as you want in those crops, not coming up. You're not getting much return on your investment. Have I just described you? You're working hard, but you're not putting God first, and your harvest seems so small. You may remember Jesus, Matthew 6:33, in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." What he was saying was, if you put God as your first priority, everything else in life is going to fall in place. But if you try to put everything else first, nothing falls in place. And he was right. Now, what Haggai said sounded an awful lot like another preacher before God's people 100 years earlier. Even before Babylon came in to invade, Micah had said this in chapter 6. "Because you did not put me first, I have struck you with a grievous blow. You eat, but you're never satisfied. You drink, but you're never filled. Your savings accounts will fall by the sword. You sow, but you don't reap. You tread the olives, but you don't have any oil. You tread the grapes, but you have no juice." And Micah had said that 100 years before, and they didn't get it. They didn't realize that if you put God first, even working a day less and observing the Sabbath, you have more. People today, they don't get the principle either. "Pastor, I have to work 7 days a week to get ahead, or my family can't make it." But they don't realize if you work 6 days a week, honor God on his day, he allows you to accomplish more at 6 days than you can at seven. It just works that way. "Pastor, we're in debt. I'm ashamed to admit it, but we're in debt, and I need 100% of my income to pay the bills, because if I don't use every single cent that we get, we can't make it. I cannot give 10% back to God. I can't." And what they don't realize is if they give 10% to God first, he will let your 90% go further than your 100% goes. That's just God's economy. That's how he works. And so the first question he asked him, number one, was, consider how your life is going. Stop, lay your life out on a road, look at it, carefully consider it. How's life going? But here's the second thing he said. Consider why. Number two, consider why. Now, whenever Haggai spoke, God's people, the crops were not producing. There was a drought. Inflation was high. The food supply was low. Hold on. Wait a second. Wait a minute. Drought. Food supply is low, inflation's high. That sounds like us, doesn't it? So whenever Haggai spoke, crops were not producing, they were in a drought, inflation was high, food supply was low. And God said, stop. Have you ever considered why? Israelites, have you ever stopped to consider why things are the way they are? Look at my house. I'm not your priority. As long as I'm not your priority, it's not going to get better. God said, verse 9, you worked so hard and you expected a bumper crop, but you brought it home, he said, and I blew on it. Is gone. Because I blew on it. I'm the one that caused it. That's why you don't have it. I blew it away from you. Because I'm not your priority. You busied yourself with your things, but not my things. Therefore, he said, the heavens will give no rain, and the earth will give no produce. And I called out to the hills, hills, don't produce anything. And they won't. And I called out to the grain, and I called out to the drink, and I called out to the ground, and I called out to all of your laborers. And I says, don't produce. They won't. Because God Almighty has spoken. God told them the reason why they were struggling. Because their disobedience had affected every area of their life. Folks, have you ever stopped to consider that your disobedience, my disobedience, affects every area of my life? All of it. Now, we don't like to hear this, but there are times, I'm not saying all the time, but there are times that there are consequences to our actions. There are times. And this is one of them. We don't like to hear that. In fact, I get criticized sometimes for saying it. I preached one Sunday morning on Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 several years back. Whenever I talked about, God said, if you obey me, I will bless you, and if you disobey me, I will curse you. Your crops would produce. If you obey, your crops are cursed. If you disobey, your finances are blessed. If you obey, they're cursed. If you disobey, and boy, that next week on social media, I was blasted. Did you hear what the pastor of First Baptist Garland said? He thinks we're still living in the Old Testament. He still thinks we're cursed. Hasn't he read the New Testament that in Jesus there's no more curse? Hasn't he read that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory? But hold on a second, folks. He says that in Philippians 4:19, but he was talking to a people, according to 2 Corinthians 8, who had already devoted themselves to God first. Then he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. But God never has blessed disobedience. And it doesn't matter, New Testament, Old Testament, he will never bless disobedience. Ever. We don't have to hear it. But it's true. You obey, God blesses. You disobey, no crops. So, what do you do? Let the building lie in ruins? What do? Put him first? Or keep living for self? William Arthur Ward, you'll see a picture of him here on the screen. He was a minister for mid-1970s, 1980s. He used to have articles in Fort Worth Star-Telegram every week, as well as Reader's Digest and different places he published his works. And one time, William Arthur Ward said that life is often like sailing in a sailboat on a windy day. The pessimist says, well, the wind is always going to be there. They complain about the wind. The optimist says, oh, the wind's going to change. Right around the corner, it's going to change. Any moment, it's going to change. But the realist adjust the sails. And that's something we need to know. Some of you are sailing through life, the wind's against you, you're complaining all the time. It's not going to get better because God's not first. And others of you are optimistic. Oh, it's going to change. I know life's not going well right now, but it's going to turn around and it's going to get better. No, it's not, because God's not first. But the realist adjust the sails and says, God, it's time to do something different. It's time to change some things in my life. It's time to place you first, and your work first, and your money first, and your day, Sunday, first. And whenever you do, the crops begin to grow. Did the people of Haggai's day listen? Yeah. 24 days later, they were up there chopping wood to bring it back down and hauling rocks to start rebuilding the house. They listened. Question is, will you? Every head bowed, every eye closed, very quietly just for a moment. Everybody with their heads bowed and closed, eyes closed. And I wonder this morning, as God has spoken a powerful message through Haggai, I pray that we will receive it. And maybe if you were honest this morning and you considered your ways and you laid your inner thoughts out on a road and evaluated, some of you would have to say, Lord, you're not first. I don't want to play any more games with you. You're not first. Everything else is, but you, your house isn't, your money isn't, my life isn't. Lord, I'm living for myself. And it's not going too well. And so I wonder, just in the quietness of this moment, how many of you, I'm going to give you a moment to pray, would say, Lord, I need to say yes to you. Some of you need to pray to receive Jesus for the first time. Others of you have already done that, but you've wandered away and you need to come back to Him and just say, Heavenly Father, from this moment on, you're going to be first, whatever that looks like, and I'm trusting you with everything else. Lord, as you've heard the prayers of people across our congregation, maybe even those on live stream who are joining us, Father, I pray that you would take these prayers and you would bless them and you would honor them. And Lord, I just pray, just as the people of Haggai's day start building the walls again, I pray that we would as well. We would start building in our lives those things that matter, those things that are spiritual, those things that are obedience. Lord, I just pray that you would bless these prayers. Those that needed to receive Jesus, I praise God for that prayer. Those that needed to recommit their lives, I praise God for those. And Lord, in the days to come, would you once again bless their home, their land, their life, for Jesus' sake. In His name I pray.